Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I just want to start out by reading to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. It's just a very short verse, but a very significant verse. And it says this: do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. Can you say that with me? Do not put out the Holy Spirit's fire. When it starts out, do not, it's not a suggestion. It's a little bit more on the commandment, you know, perspective. Not like, hey, this is a suggestion I make. He says, do not put out, quench, extinguish the Holy Spirit's fire. And I want you to listen now to Alton Garrison, one of our very distinct leaders in the Assemblies of God in our national office. Thank you, Mary.
This is Cole. For nearly 50 years, coal has been used in our country to generate the lion's share of electricity for our homes, businesses, and industry. This electricity has provided us with power for lighting, heating, cooling, cooking, washing, communicating, entertaining. Well, you get the idea. Simply stated, electricity is essential in providing for the many needs and amenities we enjoy in America. Here at this power plant, every few days a string of coal cars arrives packed with coal from out of state. When the coal arrives, it drops through the bottom of each car into this unloading station. From here it travels by conveyor belt, where it is piled and sized for processing. The coal is then moved to a mill station, where it is ground into a fine powder and used as fuel to fire a huge furnace chamber, heating it to over 1,000 degrees. Here in the chamber, water courses through a grid of boiler piping and is superheated to create an intense steam. The steam is then piped into a large turbine engine where the pressure from the steam rotates the mechanical turbine, turning the electrical generator. As the generator spins, molecules move and charge, creating electricity. That electricity is then transferred to the switchyard just outside the plant, where it's distributed to a number of substations throughout the region, and then on to homes and businesses, supplying them with power. When you think about it, the process for generating electrical power has many similarities to the process we must all follow as Christians for having spiritual power. When we receive Christ at the moment of salvation, we become a new creation. The Holy Spirit indwells our being and resides in us. And at that moment, we're given a great resource. But like any resource, if it's going to be helpful, it's got to be processed and put to use. Take this lump of coal. It's of little value if I just stand here and hold it. But if you process it and put it to use, it can be a great tool, as we've seen. It's the same for us as believers. If we have the Holy Spirit inside us and we never tap into His power, we miss a great opportunity to do more and reach the full potential God offers us beyond our own gifts and talents. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." These final words of our Savior describe a powerful experience that we as Pentecostals hold dear. It's described in many ways in the Bible, but Jesus and others called it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He also called it the promise of the Father. One of the things we need to realize is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every Christian. In the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that they were all filled with the Spirit. Peter told the crowd on that day that that promise was for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, even as many as the Lord Himself shall call. Friend, Peter was talking about us, all of us who are in Christ Jesus. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate experience that follows salvation. It is not a requirement for salvation, but it is a benefit that every member of the body of Christ can enjoy. So the Holy Spirit baptism is not a requirement of salvation for the non-Christian, but it is an empowering experience for the Christian so that they can be supernaturally equipped. The book of Acts demonstrates a very clear-cut pattern. The Holy Spirit baptism occurs only after someone has truly accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, the Holy Spirit is present during this process, for He is the convicting agent that draws someone to Jesus and baptizes him into Christ. But there is another experience that is different than and subsequent to salvation. And that's where the power of the Holy Spirit is so very real. With that experience comes intimacy, where we want to live a righteous, holy life. And also, there comes a power to witness. One of the things I've learned in being here at this plant, that creating power is really a noisy business. The fire stokes, the pressure builds, the turbine whines, the generator rumbles. Believe me, it's noisy. But it's all part of the process. Isn't that just like the Spirit? The historical record of the book of Acts shows that the baptism is always accompanied by speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Spirit and spoke in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. This recurring sign of Acts is the initial physical evidence of the Holy Spirit and a sign that one has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. To me personally, I view the baptism much like this furnace chamber here at the plant, or for that matter, like a steam kettle on a stove. When the water gets hot and begins to boil, there's no containing it. It's going to be released, and with it will come a sound. So it is with our spirit. When we approach God in brokenness, with a heart full of love for God, and our mouths filled with thankfulness for His wonderful gift of salvation, there come a point when we're full and our spirit cannot be contained. Now, out of this baptism process, we're empowered beyond our own capabilities. We're virtually immersed in the Spirit of God in His presence. Human timidness is gone, and we're filled with confidence to share the gospel. There's this desire to live a holy life, to be more Christ-like, to live beyond our capabilities. There's a desire to read the Word. There's a desire to be a greater disciple. And there's this desire to help others. The day we accepted Christ, we were given a great opportunity, the power of His Spirit, unleashed through baptism in our lives, with power to live, to serve, and to win others for all eternity. Friends, let's not squander it. I don't know about you, but my prayer is, Lord, send the wind.
I want to share with you a couple of scriptures. Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist, he's speaking and he says, I baptize you with water for repentance. If you've been around here, we, of course, baptize people in water when they come to a place of faith in Christ. It's an outward expression of their inward faith. And this baptism of repentance, it's a place where we put faith in Christ. We say, you know, I believe that you're the Savior. I need forgiveness of my sin. I want to be restored to God. And so we put this faith in Christ. And it's not only just asking forgiveness of sin, but at that point we turn our back on our old life and we follow after Him in this new life. And so that's repentance in its fullest, you know, simple explanation, is the asking of forgiveness because you have faith in Christ, and then following after him, turning our back on the old and living this new life. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are becoming new, the Apostle Paul wrote. And so John is speaking and says, I baptize you with water as in accordance with repentance, but there is one who comes after me who is mightier than I, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's like the hymn we sang earlier, God send the fire. That is what that is about. Send this baptism that was spoken of in Scripture, that Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so Matthew chapter 3, if we were to look at Acts chapter 19, now this is the Apostle Paul, and in Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul is there, and he comes to a place where there's about 12 believers in all, 12 men in all, and he approaches them, and finding out that they're believers, he asks them in the beginning of the chapter, he says, now, what baptism have you received? And they said, the baptism of John, which we just discovered is the baptism of repentance because they have faith in Christ. And so he says, that's marvelous. I'm paraphrasing. Marvelous. And he says, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they replied and said, we have not heard of such a baptism. And that baptism is what we see in Acts chapter 2. That handout I gave you is Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, and what took place. And when they were come upon by the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues, and some other things happened, and it was the physical sign that the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place in those people's lives. And so now here is in Acts 19 where Paul says this, and they say, we haven't even heard of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. You might be here this morning and not heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that's okay. Or some of you have heard of it, but you don't really know what it is. Some of you may have heard about speaking in tongues, and so all of a sudden the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about speaking in tongues, and I want you to know that it's not about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the sign that the baptism of the Holy Spirit power has happened. There's things in our life all the time that give signals and signs that something happened. If you walked in this morning with a band around your wrist that you know, gave some basic hospital information, I'm really smart, and if I saw that, I would say, gee, were you in the emergency room? And you would think, wow, this guy's really smart. I just happen to know that you had a hospital thing around you. So you see, it's a sign that you were somewhere. A sign that says something happened, okay? I have a tree in the backyard that, well, a couple of trees, but a couple of them have been hit by lightning. You want to know how I knew? It left a sign. A limb was split and fallen in my yard. I told my wife, she better get out there and drag that out of there and clean that up right away. I'm kidding. See, there's a sign. So on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the initial physical sign that that happened for someone is that they spoke in tongues. But the baptism of the Spirit is not about the sign. A baptism of the Holy Spirit is about power, Jesus said. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay? That's what he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And so we look at these passages and we begin to discover that, you know, hey, this is in the Bible. This is not just some person's opinion. Regardless of what you've heard, we want to look at the Scripture. And we can't pick and choose, you know. As we talk about speaking in tongues and baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's a little uncomfortable for many because they haven't experienced it and it's not the norm for them. And so it sounds a little outlandish. It sounds a little crazy. It sounds a little weird and quite peculiar. And I want you to know that I get it. It is a little peculiar. But I also know that our way of thinking about things is not God's way about thinking about things. We see that in Scripture. And we will look at some other passages that help us understand that. And so in Acts 19, he comes to these 12 men, and they said, we haven't heard of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul went by, prayed for them, laid hands on each of them, and the Scripture says that they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. See, for Paul, this was like the normal process. It didn't used to be in his life, but when Christ found him and he became saved and had an experience and was filled with the Holy Spirit himself, this became the new norm. And so if that's not our new norm, it sounds peculiar. And so these men who were there in Acts chapter 19 that Paul laid hands on and prayed for, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They received the power of the Spirit. I want you to know, when you put faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and he indwells you. He lives in you. He's part of your life. The baptism is something separate, and it is a baptism of the Spirit's power. And there's physical sign that happens to show that that baptism has taken place. I want you to listen to a testimony about the baptism of the Holy Spirit in someone's life.
I went into bars and went running around with my buddies, and two of my buddies, I went to them and I said, I'm going back to church. I said, what we're doing is going to get us killed, you know, drinking and driving. And I started going to church, and our pastor there, he was preaching the word, and it was good. And I started receiving it, and next thing I know, I found myself down at the altar receiving Christ. One of my drinking buddies, he ended up dead in a drinking and driving accident. The other drinking buddy, he rolled his Toyota pickup. He ended up in a coma for a little while. Now he talks slow, he walks slow. And you know, I scratched my head and I said, Lord, well, you know, how come I made it? You know, how come I... But I know I had a praying mama. Now that I've got Jesus, you know, it's a whole different deal. And I just want to walk in him. I want to move and have my being in him and live for him, you know. The lady evangelist came to town and was preaching about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. She gave the call, does anyone want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? And my brother, he jumped up and he ran down to the front. Not even 2 weeks into salvation. And he lifted up his hands and he began to speak in other tongues and loud. I thought he's going to bust every window in the church. We'd never seen nothing like that in our lives. Some of us wanted to run out the back door. And my wife said, you better go down there and pray for him. So I'll be honest, I was a little scared and intimidated. My brother left that church that night on a Tuesday night speaking in tongues. Went home speaking in tongues. We tried to talk to him and ask him what had just happened. He couldn't tell us. My brother went home and got in the Word of God. He found out what happened to him, that he was endued with power to be a witness. She gave the same call on that Friday night. And I raised my hands up and boy, began to speak in tongues a little bit, you know, and so excited and just so full. I mean, I just thought it was going to explode. When they say it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, that's what I was learning was happening to me down there at that altar that night. And we didn't want to watch TV no more. We didn't want to listen to your latest country tune anymore. We wanted to read the Word of God. We wanted to be in prayer. We wanted to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When you don't know what to say, you don't know what verse to quote, you can pray in the Holy Spirit, and you can just, the power and the presence of the Lord will just invade the room, invade you. Because there again, he said, I'll only be with you, but I'll be in you. He put a walk in me. He put a talk in me. He put his very spirit on the inside of me to be genuine.
Thank God for those saved Southern boys. Don't you like that? I love it. I love it. I'll tell you, Southern culture, they come up with some phrases and they use them and throw them around. It's amazing. It's, you know. But of course, we're back here in the North, so let's act real cold and stoic. But we're real excited about Jesus on the inside. Yeah. Want to share a couple of scriptures with you. You know, this, the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the promised Holy Spirit, It is just that. It's a promise. It's a gift from the Father. It is not something we work for. It is through faith in Christ and hungering for the Lord and a gift that He gives to us. I mean, understand this. That part of this power is to overcome ourself. We don't like to be inconvenienced. We don't like to have to go out of our way. We kind of like things the way we like them. I mean, there's only one right way to do something, and that's, you know, the right way is our way. It's interesting that your right way is different than his right way. So somebody's wrong. It's you, Rock. You know, it's we like things our way, and, you know, when we follow Christ, it's about laying our life down. And that just doesn't come naturally. And there's a power of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to leave our life behind and walk into this new life. And this power that when we trip and we stumble, that He picks us back up, He dusts us off, and keeps us moving in the right direction. You know, you and I have limitations in our life. We can only do so much. We can only take so much for so long, etc. But with God's Spirit living in us, the promised Holy Spirit, all of a sudden we rely on Him, and He has infinite strength and power and wisdom and understanding and patience and love and all the things that, well, frankly, you and I need, and that others around us need, and then that can come out of our life for them. And so that's part of this baptism of power, is overcoming ourselves. It's a promise of the Father. Luke 24, verse 49 says this, Jesus speaking, He says, "And I will now send to you the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and fills you with power from on high," or from heaven. In Matthew 7 and Luke 11, it's put this way. "If you then, who are evil," and He's talking about fathers here in this context. It's a passage that goes together. I'm just kind of reading this verse. It says, "You fathers who are evil," in other words, you fathers who are sinful, you're human, you make mistakes. And so He says, if you who are flawed, you who are sinful, you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, right? I mean, you know, hopefully our fathers, even though they were sinful, you know, they knew how to give gifts to us as we were a kid growing up and do some things for us and give us a gift here and there or whatever it is, holiday, birthday, unexpectedly. And so He says, if fathers who are human and flawed and evil know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more then will your perfect Father in heaven give good gifts of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The promise. How much more then will our Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? Jesus says it this way in John chapter 14. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father to give you the promised Holy Spirit. That which the perfect Father in heaven is already giving is a good gift. He's promised He's going to do it. We read about it in Acts chapter 2, that paper I gave you. You'll read it there. The giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And it says, the world cannot accept Him. In other words, those who don't believe in Christ, those who don't know Christ, left to our own deductions, left to our own thinking. He says, they don't know Him. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Turn to the person next to you and say, the Holy Spirit wants to be in you. Say it. Holy Spirit wants to be in you. I know for some of you it's like this is a little peculiar, or if you're visiting it's like, oh, now we're talking to each other in the pew. Listen, we're just family and friends getting together here, okay, around this faith in Christ and around Scripture. And so put all the pretense aside and, you know, we're just going to speak the scripture to one another and understand that the Holy Spirit, the promise, was made to be in you, that you would be full of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. And so I want you to look at another testimony here. Mary, would you play that, please?
I was born in South Korea, and the country, the religion is basically Buddhism. When I actually got saved was, in fact, when I was in Thailand for 6 months. I didn't know that he was an Assemblies of God pastor, and we were just dating. We started to share our faith, and when we prayed together, I've noticed that one day he was speaking in tongue, and he was speaking in different language. I was like, what was that? I didn't know what it was, and that's kind of scary. And even after getting married, I was always skeptical in the back of my mind that I don't think that's true. My personal experience, it came about a couple years ago when I attended church camp in Chama. Thousands of people were there, were worshiping, and somehow my husband got involved in the worship team. They need a drummer. My husband plays drums. The speaker invited all the people to the altar. Let's pray. I'll pray over you and everything. And I thought, okay, my husband's there playing drums. I better get the camera and take pictures. It's going to be a memorable thing. Somehow I found myself being in the center of the stage. They started to pray over me, and I wasn't ready for it. And I was like, I was just taking pictures. But I just felt like, oh, maybe I should pray. I hear people speaking in tongues. Even up to that point, I was still like, I hear people speaking in tongue and falling down, but I don't think I'm going to do it because I don't believe in it. It was then when God started to speaking to me. I heard somebody speaking and whispering in my ears, just let it go. And I said, let it go? How do I let it go? Like, do I stop talking or do I still mumbling or say something? How do I let it go? Nobody taught me. God told me, just release, just submit, and give up. He basically said, give up. And I said, okay, I'll give up. I was actually on the ground when I was done with receiving the Holy Spirit. I was there for an hour and a half. But when I woke up, I thought I was there for 10 minutes. On that day, on very moment, God had in mind in His plan that He was going to give me His Spirit, and I will speak in tongues, so that I will never doubt in my life. It's really amazing because even when you think that you're not ready to receive the Holy Spirit, God is ready.
Maybe you identify with her a little bit that, you know, this is kind of unknown. I'm not sure about this. Get a little nervous. That's not for me. I'm not ready for this. Listen, you know, there's so many things, but one of the things that I just appreciate about the Lord is that He's willing to walk with us on a journey and bring us somewhere. Okay? Where you're at in your life. He finds us right where we're at. Okay? And I want you to know that you are in a room filled with people who have a history. They weren't always like they are now. Right? Now, wives, turn to your husband and say, I'm sure glad you're not like you used to be. I'm kidding. You don't need to do that. I had to pick on you a little bit. Pick on us a little bit. But He walks with us on a journey. He finds us where we're at. And if we open our heart to Him, He'll walk with us, and He'll show us grace and mercy and discipline and healing and hope. And we just begin this new walk of faith as we believe in Him. And part of the progression in the life and living out the faith, part of it is baptism of the Holy Spirit. It may sound strange to us, but when you get to know Christ and follow after Him, and we start to live out His principles, and the Holy Spirit reveals to us greater understanding of the Scripture and how that applies to our life. And He just moves us along and following after Him. And it's not always easy, but I'll tell you this, He's always faithful. Right? It rains on all of us, right? Whether we're good or bad or just or unjust, but He's faithful. And so I appreciate her testimony, just real honest, real open. And, you know, I found it scary and I wasn't ready, but the Lord was ready, always ready to minister and get our attention. And so I want to share this with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this: "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them?" In other words, who knows your thoughts right now? It's just you. I don't know your thoughts right now. I mean, I could guess. Some of you are probably going, "Gee, you know, I'm glad to be here, but I'm getting hungry for lunch." I'm not a mind reader. I just kind of, you know that time of day. But we don't know each other's thoughts. Like, the only person who knows your thoughts is the Spirit within you. You know them. Likewise, it says, so it is with God. No one knows his thoughts except the Spirit within him, the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So this baptism and this infilling and indwelling, those two things of the Spirit in our life, when God's Spirit does that in us, the Spirit of God knows the mind of God, right? Now, because the Spirit's in us, He can reveal to us what the mind of God is. You can actually know God's will. You can actually know what He thinks about something. His Holy Spirit can reveal to us and give us an understanding of the Scripture, of what He thinks, what His purpose is, how we're supposed to handle something, how we're supposed to walk through something in our life. See, that's why this why the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, is so important. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our life. He desires for us. So listen, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but by words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept things that come from the Spirit of God. They consider them foolishness. I mean, you have to understand, I mean, if we were to look at just speaking in tongues as one of the signs of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, if you are not a believer in Christ and you look at this, you say, "I don't understand this. I don't understand it. It seems like foolishness to me," to some degree. You know, they could have opinions about it. But when you have a relationship with Christ and a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you know the Scripture, and that this is in the Scripture, and that this is for believers and for us today, wasn't just for some people back then. We'll look at that Scripture later. We begin to go, "Hey, okay, a little different," moves us along. And now we receive and understand it, and this is our new norm, our new normal, because the Spirit of God has brought revelation to us. He's brought help to us, to you and I. And so the world calls us foolish. They cannot understand it because these things are discerned only through the Spirit. And if we don't have the Spirit of God, we have an inability to be able to discern it. But when He's in our life, He gives us that understanding, revelation, and ability to discern it. And so Romans chapter 8, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought." I want to pause here for a moment. That's why I'm reading it, Greg, because it is good. It's His Word. Listen, you and I don't always know how to express something or say something. We're kind of short on words. I don't care how great your vocabulary is. You know, sometimes we just don't know how to convey something. Have you ever experienced, you know there's a need, but you're not really quite sure how to pray about the need? You just don't know how to pray about it. "I kind of think this is it, so I will pray this way." And another person who's a believer can know about the same need, and they look at it differently, and they say, "You know, I think this is how I'm going to pray about it." Now you got two believers in Jesus praying about something. They're praying about it two different ways. See? Because we pray with our understanding. We try to use the words that we can come up with best to explain it. But I want you to look at this passage, because for the person who has the Holy Spirit power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their life, it's very different. For we did not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. For the person who is baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the beautiful things about this is not just the sign that you speak in tongues as a sign that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but it is now a power to pray perfect God-purposed, God's will, God's mind prayers. See, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, when you don't know what to pray or how to pray about something, you allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you, because remember, He knows the mind of God, right? He knows the will of God, the purpose of God. Now Paul is writing and saying, so allow the Holy Spirit, who prays through us, perfect prayers. Always praying the will of God. When you and I are sometimes lost at, how do I pray about this? We have these struggles. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this. Somebody is in ICU. Doctors are saying, we don't know they're going to make it. There's nothing else we can do. And you get together as a family, and you go, gee, I'm going to pray that he gets healed. Or should I just pray that God takes him? I don't know how to pray. I know what I want. I want them to be healed. And we pray for healing. And if healing tarries, or healing doesn't come and it lingers, and you see that they're suffering and you as a family are going through it, now all of a sudden you get to a point and you go, I just wish the Lord would take them. How do you pray about that in between? When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can now pray in tongues. The Spirit prays through us the perfect prayer, unhindered by our inability to understand or to have the perspective that God has. And now we just let the Holy Spirit pray through us. Paul says, I pray with understanding. In other words, this is how I look at something, and I'm going to pray with my understanding and communicate. But he says, I also pray in the Spirit. And then my mind is unfruitful. In other words, I don't know what I'm praying, but the Spirit in me is praying through me the perfect prayers of God. Perfect prayers. Perfect prayers. Perfect prayers. Because they're from the Spirit of God who knows the mind of God. See, that is one of the glorious benefits of this baptism of power, and the evidence that it is speaking in tongues. And when I understand that it might be a little peculiar, but when I look at the benefit and what God has provided for us and the ability to do that for one another, there are times that I don't know how to pray for some of you. And I pray in the Holy Spirit for you. Because I'm just a man. And I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I don't want to just pray my will. I want to pray your will. Not my will, but nevertheless, your will be done. Now, the Holy Spirit can help us pray. You don't know how to pray for your child. You just want them to get straight and get clean and get this and get, you know, and you pray those things and they're good. And you're praying with your understanding, but what if you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and you began to pray in the Spirit in your room? You begin to pray in the Spirit for your child. The perfect prayers of God for them. Wow. You see, this baptism of power is about the power to overcome ourselves. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. The word witness there really translates to martyr. Nobody's real excited about laying their life down. We're always trying to preserve our life. But when the Holy Spirit comes into us, we can put aside some things. Put aside ourselves and live for Christ. See, Holy Spirit gives us the power to overcome our tendencies, to live like one who's following Christ. The other power that comes is this power to pray perfect prayers. Another power that comes through this is a power to do ministry. I want you to know that you just can't do this. We just can't do this on our own. We need God's Spirit to empower us. We can only give what we have. And we have limited resources in who we are and what we can do and how long we can last and all. But when God's Spirit is in us, it is now Him doing things through us, bringing life, because He's the Spirit of life. See, we can't do this on our own. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "You Galatians, who has deceived you? Who has bewitched you?" Very strong words. He says, that which you've started in the Spirit, now when we first came to Christ, the Holy Spirit drew us, we responded in faith. It was a work of the Holy Spirit bringing us the salvation. That was the beginning part of our faith in Christ. And he says, that which you started in the Spirit, you are now trying to finish in the flesh. In other words, the Spirit at salvation was drawing us, we responded, and as a little bit of time went on, all of a sudden we think we know enough Scripture, I'm kind of falling into this Christian life, and I got it from here. I'll just kind of keep doing it on my own. We cannot do this life or ministry on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. It's why the Father promised the Holy Spirit to you, to me, to us. It's why this baptism of power is so important in addition to follow after the moment of repentance and faith we put in Christ. Acts chapter 2, last verse. And if you have that handout with you, it talks, the whole chapter's there. And they get to a point where the Holy Spirit was poured out. People were full of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. There were people that were wondering what was going on. Peter stands up. He quotes from the prophet. He tells them about the crucifixion of Christ and tells them of our sin as people and how we can be redeemed. And they get to the point and they say, now that we have all this information, what are we supposed to do? And Peter replies and he says this: repent, turn away from the old life, put your faith in Christ. Be baptized, an outward sign of your personal faith. And every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, Peter was saying. He was talking to the people of that day. The promise is for you, that audience then. He wasn't talking about us yet. He was just talking to them. The promise is for you. And then he says, and it's for your children. And it's for all of those who are far off. In other words, all of those who haven't been born yet. Ah, that includes us. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's you. See? And if Jesus shouldn't return and life continues, it's for all those who haven't even been born yet. See? This is not just for then. It is for now. It is for all time. So what about you this morning? You have faith in Christ? Have you been baptized with the fullness of His Spirit's power? With the evidence of speaking in tongues according to Scripture to show that the baptism of power has happened? I know that when you talk about this, we can get a little nervous. We can get a little apprehensive. We can start to go through the Scripture and go, I'm not comfortable with this because, you know, I don't like the spotlight on me, and what is someone going to think? And what, you know, we start going around and around with all this flesh stuff. If we make no provision for the flesh, we say, Jesus, you're my Savior. This is your word. And if this is what you have for my life, I want to know you more. I want you to baptize me with power, regardless of the sign that shows up. We're not seeking tongues. Hear me. You're pursuing the Lord and the baptism He offers, the promise and the gift of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Remember this. The Holy Spirit who wrote the scripture that you believe in, the Holy Spirit who drew you to faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit who continues to strive with you and contend with you and convict you and protect you and talk to you and teach you. That same Spirit of gentleness and mercy and truth is the same Spirit that baptizes us. It's not a different Spirit. It's the same Spirit. So don't segregate and say, oh, baptism of power, ooh, I don't want that. But I want everything else of the Spirit. That is not how this works. And all of it that he is good. See? Would you marry yourself to him?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.